All right, tonight I'm just going to be talking about what Scott has been talking about without getting into what he's been talking about. But he's been dealing with Christ in the Old Testament as we go through it. And so tonight I'm not going to pick up where he was, but I'm going to talk about the same thing, talking about what God has done with Christ all down through the period of time. Now we start out tonight and we see in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son." Now that fullness of time is a very important phrase. What that means is, at exactly the right time, at exactly the right place, at exactly the right way, Jesus came into this world. He didn't come in a year too early. He didn't come in a year too late. He came at exactly the right time. Now that kind of amazes me as an American, because I've always had the feeling and thinking, it seems to me like it would have been better if Christ had come in our time. Because here it is, we have all of these things that we have, technology and all this today, and you could get around the world and so forth. And so it always really did make me feel, why did He come at exactly the right time? What was there about it that was there? I never doubted God when God says He came at the right time, but in what sense? How really could He come at the right time? But He didn't come a day late, not a day early. And the amazing thing is how long that clock had been ticking before He came. So as we go back and we begin to look and think about that, we see that we put a line up here representing eternity. Eternity, back at the beginning, God never had a beginning. You just go. And then at the end of time, there will be an eternity. You just go. Here it is. We have all of this time, of which you can argue, you say, well, time didn't even exist. I don't suppose it did. But be that as it may, here it is. We have this clock, God's clock, that has been ticking for an eternity, way back before time began. Back before the creation, God started working on sending His Son to this earth. Now that's just awe-inspiring. I never can get over thinking about it. Before He ever created the heavens and the earth, before He ever created any of this physical universe, God had made His plans of what He was going to do, how He was going to create, how He was going to make you and me, and then how He was going to send Christ at exactly and precisely the right time when it would be the most effective. Now, when we study about that period of time, it's kind of interesting that the Romans had been ruling the world now for a couple hundred years. And during this time, the Romans had built a highway system. They had built a highway system just like we build a freeway system. And they had roads made. Now, these roads would be wide enough for a horse and buggy or an oxen and a wagon or two or three people to walk side by side. And so they made these roads, and these roads went everywhere throughout the Roman country. They just interlaced one another. So if you wanted to go from Jerusalem to Rome, why, it would be the same as you getting out your map now and going to go from Seattle to New York. You'd say, well, we'll take this road till we get here, then we'll take this road up here, then we'll take this road, and you just follow the roads. And so it had a roadway system that was just phenomenal. That made it easy to travel. Now, before that period of time, there were no roads. There were pathways, and it was hard for people to travel. So very few people would travel more than 20 or 30 miles away from their home. But now then, when Jesus came, He came in a period of time when people could travel. Let me go back and put this in there. I was thinking there. The Romans had also built this highway system, which made traveling convenient and popular, that it was easy to do. and so there were more people traveling now than there ever had been. You say, well, what would that What difference would that make? Well, it makes a difference when Christ came, and he's going to have his gospel now to be spread throughout all of the world. Why, it was spread by the saints, by Christians going everywhere preaching the word, and by the apostles going out. Now then, they had a system whereby they could travel. Books were being printed, so it was not really a strange thing for the Gospels and the New Testament books to be able to put in a book form. Now, a book form at that time is not like our books. It was written on skins and such things. But books were being printed. There were books there, and there were libraries. Now, the last two is very important, and that is the Jewish nation was prepared to accept the Messiah after 1,600 years of education. Now, notice I put emphasis on the Messiah. I didn't say they were prepared to accept Jesus because they didn't accept him. They rejected him. But they were prepared to accept the Messiah. You've got to keep in mind, Jesus is the Messiah, but they didn't know that. And the Old Testament never prophesied and says, now Jesus is coming. It said the Messiah is coming. And it prophesied about the Messiah. And the Messiah, when he comes, he'll be born of a virgin. He'll be born in Bethlehem. And so it told all of these prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus came. He fulfilled all the prophecies, which showed he was the Messiah. But the point is that the Jewish nation is now, at this period of time, prepared. Now think what would happen if God had sent Christ, let's say, 100 years after Abraham. After he told Abraham he was going to do it, then he sent Christ. Nobody was prepared. Nobody knew what to look for. The Jewish nation wasn't prepared. So God had spent 1,600 years under the law giving this Jewish nation an education so they were prepared to look and see the Messiah when he came. And now then, the last thing is the Jewish nation was eagerly awaiting the Messiah because of the Roman tax burden. So at this time, the Jewish nation were not only prepared to receive the Messiah, educationally wise, they were enthusiastically looking for the Messiah because they thought when the Messiah comes, he will conquer the earth, he will be the universal king, and he will relieve us of all this tax burden. So they were looking for the Messiah. They were wanting the Messiah. And things were prepared for the Messiah. And it's just awesome when we look at it and see it in that way. So now then, this whole point is that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. Now it's impressive to think of the Bible in this way. This way that I'm going to show you right here. That if you look at the arrows going both directions. You go back before creation. There we see that God did something before creation. Then you start in and you have the Old Testament period of time, about a 4,000 year period of time that was in there. Then he sends Christ at the exact time. Then Christ comes, he dies on the cross, and he establishes his church and sends the apostles out to preach the gospel. Now, 99.99% of what the Bible tells us that happened during this period of time. That's what I say. It's kind of a unique way of looking at it. Now, don't get carried away with that figure because that is just my guess. But as you look at it and you say, okay, how much of the Bible tells us about what happened before creation and down to the church? How much of the Bible talks about that period of time? Almost all of it. Just a small little sliver is all you have that talks about the future. Think about it. How much of the Bible really talks about down here, heaven, and where it'll be like when we die? Well, you say, okay, we've got some stories. Yeah, we sure do. We got the story of Lazarus. We've got a story here of Paul saying he's been up there and it's very nice, very much better. And then in the book of Revelation, we've got a story in chapter 6 about the saints that died and went there. And then in chapters 21 and 22, we have two chapters in the Bible that tells us about heaven. And the rest of them, just little snippets here and here and here and here. So when you say, is it important to study these things that go on back there and see that? Because we get to thinking so oftentimes that over here, the most of the Bible is about our period of time. That's not true. We are the fulfillment. We are the ones that get to enjoy it all. But all the things that it tells you about really took place back in there. Let's go through pretty rapidly here some things, and we'll repeat a lot of scriptures, but I just want you to notice here some things that it tells us about it. Now, as we go back before creation, we find that God planned. He made some plans about what He was going to do. Now, as He made these plans, here are some scriptures that tell about it. Let's just look at them rapidly just to see God planned before He ever created the world. It talks about Jesus being delivered up by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God. God knew this was going to happen. In Romans 16, well, there He says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, kept in secrets since the world began." Now you see, God made His purpose. He made His plans, and His plans were kept in secret there since the world began until Christ finally came. We'll look at that a little bit more. Here it talks about, Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Before there were any ages, any time periods, God ordained or set in place, here is what is going to happen. And then in Ephesians 1, why, there He's calling on us to, blessed be God the Father, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now these are put up to show us, beyond any shadow of a doubt, God was working, God was planning before He ever created the world, saying, here is what we're going to do. Then in Ephesians 3, why, He said, now, Paul said, I write down what I understand here, there, and when you read, you may understand My knowledge in the mystery of Christ, that is, in all of this mysterious things that are happening in the Old Testament we've been studying about, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. So Paul said, what I preach to you is what God planned before the beginning of the world and what has been going on from the creation down to Christ. He said, that's what I've been preaching. And here you and I are over here and we're enjoying all of this according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Titus says, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So before He did anything, He promised us that he made a promise, I will make a plan to save the people, and that plan had to do with Jesus Christ. So there we find then that as we look at this whole thing, that we see God created the world, finally Christ came. Now, everything that happened between the creation and the coming of Christ is called a mystery. In your New Testament, it says it's a mystery. And Paul said over there, I preach the mystery. I unlock the mystery. I tell you what the mystery is. Now, here's what we mean by the mystery. God purposed that He would send Christ. Then He created the world. Nobody knew what He was going to do. It was a mystery. Everything He did, He just did a little here, a little there that we'll talk about. But it was all a mystery from creation to Christ. Now, in Romans 6:25, look at this. Paul said, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." Now, he said, he can establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, stop right there. Let that soak in. Here it is. What is it that Paul is saying? Paul's saying, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which mystery kept a secret since the world began. Paul, what did you say? Paul said, I'm telling you that over here on this side of Christ, after Christ came, I'm preaching the gospel to you, and here is what the gospel is. It is revealing to you the mystery of everything that happened up to there. That really what the gospel is. Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the angels. That's what the gospel is. You say, what is the gospel? The gospel is the revealing of mankind to all that God has done to save man. From before the creation, clear down to the coming of Christ and the establishment of His kingdom. It's revealing all those things that happened in there. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, way back there, which from the beginning of the ages hath been hidden in God. So we see all of these things here show us that God made promise. God made a purpose. He had a purpose back here before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now what I'm going to do is to kind of run through and show us how this purpose was unveiled. I'm going to do it by putting some red peas up here. I'm going to put about five or six of them up here. That's just for memory purposes. The first thing God did was purpose, as we've already seen. Now, the next major thing God did was promise. He called Abraham, and He promised Abraham. Now, He said, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Again, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And Galatians said, Paul said, and to your seed, which is Christ. Now, go back when God promised to Abraham. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. What was God doing? Abraham didn't have the slightest idea. There was no way for him to know. He had no information. The only thing he knew was that God has called me, and through one of my children somewhere, God is going to bless all of the people of the earth. But it was a mystery. Abraham didn't have the slightest idea. Nobody had the slightest idea as God was revealing this. God was just making a promise, here's what I'm going to do. Now, a little here and a little there, He will keep revealing. He'll keep revealing it until down here with you and me, with the gospel, He tells it all. But all the way back through the history of man, God is just revealing a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. That's the way we all do when we plan to do something. We illustrate it really in many, many different ways. Then God drew some pictures. He drew some verbal pictures. He told them to do this, and He caused them to build things and to do things that gave them a picture of what it was going to be like over here when Christ came and established His kingdom. Now, this is where Scott is right now, talking about these things, the temple, the tabernacle, and the furniture in the tabernacle, all of this that is over here. So Hebrew writer says, then indeed, even the first tabernacle had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary, For the tabernacle was prepared, the first part, and then he tells what all is in that tabernacle. I'll not go into it because God is dealing with that. But there you have your veils, and you have your Ark of the Covenant, and you have your showbread, and you have the altar of incense, and the lampstands, and all of those that he had there. Now, Paul goes ahead in verse 23, and he talks about it, and he says, talking about those things, which is a figure for the time present. Now, he says those things that God had Moses to build, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, all those things God told Moses to build, he said that was a figure. That's all it was. It was just a figure to show about the things to come. As you look back there and you see that, why, it explains it out, and this is where he is in his class, explaining it out, that when you go back in the most holy place, that's just a figure of heaven. Only the high priest could go back there. Only Jesus can go up as our high priest into heaven. The front part of that was the holy place, and that's a church. And in the church, the priest can go. Well, all of us are priests, so we now are in the church. And in there, you have your offerings of incense. You have your table of showbread. They are figures of our sacrifices and the Lord's Supper and such things as this. And so, but the point is, they were just a figure. And he says, it was necessary, therefore, that the copies of these things in heaven should be cleansed with these, that is, with blood. Now, here he calls them a copy. Remember last week when Scott started out with that blood-soaked situation of where they took blood and they threw it all over everything and all of these copies. It's just a copy. Now, if I wrote a letter today or turn it around and say the president wrote me a letter, well, he could write me a letter. And if he sent me the letter with his autograph on it, that's the real thing. And you come and you say, show me that letter. Well, I could say, I tell you what, I have the real thing locked up in a safe at home. But here it is. I made a copy, and I give you a copy. Now, you look at that copy, and that copy shows you exactly what is on my real letter that's locked up in the safe at home. That's what those things were. Those things were pictures. Those were copies of the real thing. And the real thing now is God, heaven, Christ, the church. And so he drew them pictures. And he said, now here is what it's going to be like. In Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come, so the law was just a shadow. All of that that took place in the Old Testament was a shadow. It was a shadow for you and me and everybody else to see and say, huh, here's what's going to come, as we look at the shadow. But the shadow is not the real thing. So God drew them pictures. So he purposed, then he promised, then he drew them pictures. Then after that, he sent the prophets. Now he sent several prophets. We take prophets, and if I ask you, come up with some prophecies about the Christ. Here we take Isaiah. Isaiah comes along, he has several about the Christ. So he comes in, and he starts prophesying. And he prophesies, now when he comes, he will be born of a virgin. And he will be divine. And his name will be God with us. And he will, and prophet said, be born in Bethlehem. And he will be a poor man. He'll not have a place to lay his head. But he will be buried in a rich man's tomb. And on they go. some 300 prophecies, they prophesy about Christ. Now try to put yourself back in the shoes back there in Isaiah's day. So here it is that you have read now of where God promised Abraham, I'm sending somebody that'll be a blessing to the whole world. And now here's a picture of some of the things that's going to happen. Your mind is just boggled. You still can't tell. It's a mystery. There's no way in the world to get it revealed. But when this Messiah comes, this anointed one of God, now, when he comes, boy, he'll be born of a virgin. How can that be? I don't understand that. Huh? What will happen there? See? And he will be, and so it starts telling, and we look and we say, wow, wonder how that's going to take place. Even here's a real poor man buried in a rich man's tomb. How will that happen? And you go on with those 300 different prophecies, and it boggles your mind. It's a mystery. That's what Paul tells us over here in the gospel. All these things here were just mysteries that God is helping us to understand. So Jesus comes, and Jesus then said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled which are written in the law of the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So all those things that are written concerning me, they all have to be fulfilled. And when the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, he says, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should come. That's an interesting statement. When Paul preached the gospel, what did he preach? He said, I don't preach anything except what Moses and the prophets said would come. The only thing I preach to you over here is what God has revealed is going to happen. That's all I preach to you. Now, we generally don't think of it that way. We think when Paul was preaching, he was preaching some new things. And well, his new thing was he was unveiling or revealing this great mystery that God had planned and promised and pictured and prophesied. And so all of those statements, all those things in the Old Testament are so very, very, very important. That's the point I want to make in this lesson tonight. Finally, before Jesus came, God prepared the way. He sent John the Baptist, and it says here that he sent him who shall prepare thy way, make you ready the way of the Lord. So now then, that was John's job. John's job was to approach the people and say, now repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All of you need to repent and get ready because it's getting ready. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way so that this person that has been all the way through there, the center core of revelation, will now have a people who are prepared for him. And then finally, one day he was born. When the fullness of time came, at exactly the right moment, God sent forth his son. I've got perfected down there because perfected means completed. So God started out by purposing. He gave us a little more information by promising. Then he gave us a little more information by drawing us pictures, having physical tabernacles and furniture made. Then he gave us a little more by having hundreds of prophecies. Then he prepared by sending a man to prepare and tell them, now the time is ready, repent, and then, bang, Jesus came. You see, it's no accident when Jesus came. Nothing in the Bible is an accident when you look at it. So you see all of this, and you say, wow, then all of that Old Testament teaching is really, really, really important. Yeah, it is. Because that's what the gospel is about, to tell you about it. Now, here's an interesting thing. In 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, Peter tells us about the prophets who lived back there at that time. Let's look at what he says about them, and I want you to try to think. Just pick out a prophet like back in the prophecies. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, doesn't make a difference. Think about those men. Now, they were back there, and Peter says, we're preaching about the salvation, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point into. Every word in there is important. Look, he said, now we're talking about the salvation which the prophets sought and searched diligently. They not only prophesied, but they tried to figure out, what did I say today? What did I mean when I said this? They were prophesying of the grace that should come unto you, he said, talking to Christians. So Isaiah and all of them were prophesying about the grace that's going to come to us here who are Christians, but they didn't understand it. When Isaiah went home at night and he said, honey, I prophesied today that a virgin would have a child and his name would be Emmanuel. And she said, what does that mean? He said, I don't have the slightest idea. I've been trying to figure it out. Next day he'd go out, he'd prophesy, this baby will be a boy, and his name will be. Wonder what that means. I don't know. I wish I knew. And he spent his life prophesying about good things that's going to come to you and me here in the gospel, and he never did find out what he was talking about. He said they were searching what time or what manner of time. When will it happen? What will it be like? When the Spirit of Christ was in them, Holy Spirit was in Isaiah when he was prophesying, which pointed to, when it testified of the suffering of Christ. So they were prophesying about the suffering of Christ. They didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. What will happen? So those prophets were wanting to know, what are we saying, while they were preaching about Christ. Then he says, to whom it was revealed, this is to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and those prophets, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you did they minister these things. So God did tell them, look, Isaiah, this is not for you to know. You just go preach what I tell you to preach, and you don't have to understand it. Because what you're saying is going to come to pass later on down there in the day of salvation. So he said, when they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven. So now, over here in the gospel, the Holy Spirit is revealing to you what the Holy Spirit meant when he was talking through the prophets. So it's the Holy Spirit in both cases. But over here, you and I get to know, they didn't get to know. And it said, which things angels desire to look into. So I put it up here. While all of this is going on, these mysteries are coming through, angels were wanting to know, what is this all about? What is happening down there? In my little mind, I try to visualize that God made his purpose, and one day God spoke, and bang, the universe came into existence. Now, when that happened, what do you suppose the angels in heaven did? We don't have a word to tell us, but I'll tell you something. They wondered, what is going on? What would those angels think when all of a sudden they'd been there for how many years? And all of a sudden, bang! And there are trillions and trillions and hundreds of trillions of stars and so forth out here. What is going on? And then on one of these little balls that God made, God one day took some clay and made a man, and made a woman, and made this earth, and set it in motion. What in the world? God has made a thing down there. They'd never seen a man before. He's made something that's made in His image. Everything God has, He put in these things down there He calls people. He made them so they can love, they can hate, they can... He made them in His own image. What is going on? And then you go on through, and you find these men rebel against God. Instead of God wiping them out, He starts sending promises. And He promises, and He prophesies. And the angels don't know what's happening. But here's what we do know. They desired to look into them. That word, desired to look into, literally means bent over. They were bending over, and they were looking, and they were lusting to look in. What is God doing with those people down on earth? So it was a big thing to the angels that were in heaven that was up there. Now, when we look at it, try to put the whole thing together, we can then say, okay, what is the gospel over here? When Christ came, established His church, Paul's preaching the gospel over here in our age, what is it? Well, it says, to whom, that is the prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves did, but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you. What is the gospel? It is the preaching and the revealing of all of the mysteries that have taken place beforehand, so we can see what a blessed thing we have. So a few more scriptures. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:10, Paul said when he preached, what'd you preach, Paul? But we speak the wisdom of God. Pretty powerful. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. What does Paul say we preach over here? We preach God's wisdom, which He revealed back over there. He purposed before the world ever began. That's what we're preaching over here. Then again in Romans 16, he said, now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Okay, now we got back to Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ. Yep, that's what he's doing. He's preaching the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. What is the gospel? It's a revelation of the mystery that's been kept secret since the world began. Wow. Then in Ephesians, or in Colossians, he says, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed in His saints. Now, you and I have it. Now then, Paul, Peter, and the others, they have revealed it through the gospel. They have told us, here is what happened. God purposed it before. God then started working, and He worked for 4,000 years, manipulating nations and doing this and doing that, so that finally, at exactly the right time, He could send His Son to come into the world to go out and preach to the world the wisdom of God of how He sent His Son to save mankind. When we look at it that way, then we understand this. Everything that has happened from eternity to the gospel happened for you and me. Down here today, we're the recipients. We have it all. We can now preach the gospel. When we're preaching it, we can tell what happened. We can go back and we can unlock all of those secrets that were there. It all belongs to us now. And we see what a great, wonderful thing that it really was. Then, as we close out, we look at the gospel. What does the gospel contain down here for you and me? Well, it contains facts to be believed. Look at the facts. We've got these facts. The last set of facts is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We must believe that. It contains commands to be obeyed, but we haven't studied this class. And then it contains promises to be received. So you look down, all of it starting before creation, and coming down to where you and I are tonight. And here are the things as we sat here. We believe them, we're obeying them, and we do have these promises out here to be received. It's a pretty, pretty impressive journey when you look at what all the Bible takes into view. Class dismissed.